Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. Over and over we say that. And it is a blessing to know that God gives us a second chance. Amen. We have new beginnings right here on Blog Talk Radio. We thank you for tuning in. For those of you tuning in by internet, if you would like to tune or to give us a call, You can participate. We are an interactive Bible study. An interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity to interact with the body of Christ. Those who are on the phone lines, who are sharing right now, you have an opportunity to come on and be a part of this talk or this Bible study. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Again, we do thank you for tuning in. We're here every Wednesday. Again, we are New Beginnings. We're an interactive Bible study, and we just come together as a body of Christ just to share the Word of God. We just like to have a good time in the Lord. Amen? With so much confusion, so many distractions, it's just good to be able to tune in and just to listen to the Word of God. Take a minute out and get that peaceful Word of God. We're going to have prayer. And then we are going to invite Minister Edna Herman from out of New York, who will be speaking this evening. We're going to turn it on over to her, and we're just going to follow and just have a good time in the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the love of Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because you are God who never changes. You never change. You've always been the same. You love us. And we thank you for that. Even though that we falter, we make so many mistakes, but you still love us just as we are. And we just come to say thank you. We honor you this evening, Heavenly Father, just to glorify you, to magnify you, to lift up the name of Jesus. And through this prayer, Father, we pray for the sick and afflicted, those, yeah, Heavenly Father, who are feeling some type of some distress in some kind of way, a physical, emotional, whatever it is, Father, Lord, we just pray for them, Heavenly Father, that you would give them peace in the midst of those trials. Lord, Father, we ask that you would build them up in the areas where they're torn down and that you would strengthen them where they are weak. Father, we ask that you would just be with all families, that their families are united, Heavenly Father, that the children, Heavenly Father, are not wayward, and those that are wayward, Father, we pray for those that are lost, who would end up coming back home, Heavenly Father, because, yeah, of what they learn within the household. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father, we also ask a special prayer for Pearl Hines, Heavenly Father, who's recovering from a surgery. Lord, we ask that you would just continue to heal her. She's been in and out of the hospital. Lord, just minister to her body, Heavenly Father. Give her strength, Heavenly Father. Lord, you give her mind clarity, Heavenly Father. Continue to give her peace and let her speak the words of Christ. Father, we thank you for all these things. And if there's those, Heavenly Father, who are out there who are also going through some physical things in hospital surgeries or whatever the case may be, if they've lost one, Father, we pray a special prayer for them, Father. Lord, we pray for peace within the family and send the precious and the majestic name of Jesus Christ that we submit. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
We have, we have Edna Herman, who is on, and she is going to be talking about her topic is what love got to do with it. There's a pause, and she says everything. So we're going to tune in with her as we turn the mic over to her. Amen. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, we like to make sure that you mute your mic. If you are on the speakerphone, mute your mic, because we can hear everything in the background, and we do not want to be distraction when the Word of God is being discussed. Amen? We thank you. Minister Herman.
Amen, brother. How
Amen.
Are you?
Praise the Lord. I am blessed. I am blessed and highly favored. God is good.
Praise God.
Another opportunity, one more Wednesday to be able to just to be able to share and have a good time in the Lord.
Amen.
And I get excited every time. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And to everyone, God bless you all. I'm coming from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. But before I do that, I just want to say that we're going to go to verse 13 first, and then we're going to backtrack. But in this, what love's got
could
to do with it?
Could you repeat the verses again, please?
The scripture is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. But I'm going to start with verse 13, and then we're going to backtrack. And then we're all going to have a little something to say about each verse. Anyway, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Let's read verse 13 right now. And it says this: "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And charity is love. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're talking about love. And in this faith walk that we have, this journey that we have, Paul says these three components is most important in our daily personal life and for the kingdom of God. We must have love. Love that covers a multitude of sin. We must have love. And it was because of love Jesus came out of his majesty, putting on human flesh, sacrificed for us his life, died and rose again to rescue us out of darkness into the marvelous light of redemption. I thank God for that, because in this chapter, Paul is talking about the exercising of gifts and what happens or doesn't happen when love isn't presented. Love is the central part, the essential foundation for everything in our life.
Amen.
It perfects and produces what God has placed in us, which is many gifts. We have many giftings in us. Gifts we haven't even tapped into. Giftings. Paul says that the gifts of God are without repentance. In Romans 11:29, it says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance," meaning that no matter what we do or don't do, those giftings that God has in you, they're set. They're in you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't take them back, because he says in his word, they're without repentance. So, you know, if we even stray away, God's gifting is in us. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
God is not an Indian giver. His word will not go back void.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is hopefully we'll use these gifts to his glory and not our own glory. Because you know what? Let's talk about this before we get into the chapter. There are people out there with the giftings and even in backslidden condition. And those gifts are still functional. They will still function, but not in perfection. Only for attention, but not in perfection. Not in the perfection of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And like I said, hopefully we'll use those gifts to his glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Though, you know what? Because at the end of the day, which is the end of our lives, if we don't use these gifts to his glory, it will come to nothing in the eternal place. Because remember what he says in Matthew 7:22-23? He says, "Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't I not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And what he will say to those same people, he'll profess this: "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." So let's go into the scripture. And what I'm going to do tonight is take three verses at a time, and we're going to expound on it. And I want everyone that has testimony, I want you all to interject. Anyone that has testimony or whatever God has given you, please feel free. What love has to do with it? Everything. Here we see Paul comes right, he takes it right off the hip. In verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Mm-hmm. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits nothing. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. And in that, in a nutshell, what God is saying is that God judges our hearts and our motives and what we, how, why we do things. Where it says we can do all that and it profits nothing, because God is judging our motives of why we're doing it. It has to be love. Mm-hmm. Anything we do, love has to be shown. Because it's God that judges the inward part of a man, not so much the outward part. It's good that we do things on the outward, but he's judging that intent of your heart, the motive. Is it real or is it Memorex? You know what I'm saying? Mm. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. So we thank God for his word. And we thank God for what Paul is saying. Anybody want to interject? Okay. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Let's go to verse 4, 4 through 7. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth. That means it doesn't boast. Not itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Think no evil. Love doesn't even think evil about anyone. Rejoice not in iniquity. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Praise God. Beareth all things and believeth all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Praise God.
Amen.
That's what love does. Love not only, like I said before, covers a multitude of sin, but it takes us beyond our present circumstances, beyond what is happening, beyond what anybody is even doing to us. It takes us beyond, because it suffers long. And I can say that intertwines with Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love. Oh, look at that. Love is the first thing of that fruit, of that characteristic. Love, mm-hmm. peace, joy, long-suffering, you know, mm-hmm. goodness, gentleness. All those things is about love. I see why love is first. Because it's love. Everything else hinges on that very thing, love. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I don't hear nothing out there, but praise God, I know y'all there. Verse 8 through
good.
Verse 8 through 10. Praise God. Somebody want to say something?
Yes. I just wanted to, you know, to touch on, you know, and just, you know, I love this scripture, and, you know, mm-hmm. there's just so much meat in it in terms of, you know, concerning the word of God. And you were talking about between, you know, 4 and 7, and I just want to say that sometimes the world confuses mm-hmm. love with lust.
Yes, okay.
The world confuses love with lust, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here, you know, God's kind of love is directed outward toward others.
Yes, yes,
God's
yes.
love is directed outward toward others. You know, mm-hmm. it's not an internal. It is internal also, but that love mm-hmm. thing is selfish.
Yes.
Lust is selfish. You know, that selfish part. And, you know, and oftentimes, the world gets confused with that in terms of love. Love can be used in so many ways.
Yes.
And here, God is talking about in terms of, that love is toward others. You know, it's not toward ourselves, but it's toward others. And I just wanted to share on that in terms of, where God is with love. And so that it's not confused. So that it's not confused. And the big thing now in the world, again, is lust. You know, selfish lust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that selfish lust. And there's a total different comparison when we look at the two. So I just wanted to kind of pause, and take a moment, on that, because I just thought that, that just as I was looking at it, just had so much meat in terms of how, the world sees love and how God sees love.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And, as I was doing my research and I was, I had went into the Amplified Bible and also what it says about, and I'm going to drop down to verse 7, how in the Amplified it says, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes and fadeless. It's hope and fadeless or fadeless under all circumstances. And it endures everything without weakening. I thank God for that because love is supposed to stand strong. Regardless of anything or anyone, it's the agape love. It's the love that God has placed in us, like the brother said, to not basically keep, but to give out.
Right.
It's love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything that we even think should be.
I want to share a little Bible version too.
Okay.
And one of the things I was going to say when John was talking was that this is God's standard for us, the standard of love. And this is what we should expect, what we're supposed to give and what we should expect not be confused. But verse 7 in the Living Bible says, if you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him.
Wow.
And, of course, we can put her in there. If you love someone, you will always be loyal to her no matter what the cost. You will always believe in her, always expect the best of her, and always stand your ground in defending her.
Wow.
And I think that we need to think about this when we look at what John was saying, and like you were saying, Sister Edna, that in giving, that's the expectation that people should expect of us, and that's what we should expect from others. The standard that God has given us, the way he loved us, no matter what, before we loved him, was loving us.
We can count on it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that because you know what? With that love, and just like you're saying, our Sister Suzanne, you know what? Regardless of our faults, God's still there for us. Yeah, just like you're saying. And so we should be there for one another. And regardless of what the world might say about you, or your brother John, or any of my brothers and sisters, I have to stay. And you know what? Whether it's true or not, God says love them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Love them.
Amen.
Love them. You know, and defend them. You love them and defend them.
And you know, we have often have those situations within family. I think about family disputes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, family disputes. And there's, you know, oftentimes there can be so much confusion within family disputes to the point
right.
where love is gone. The love
yeah.
is gone. You know,
mm-hmm.
the family was meant to be together, to love one another,
mm-hmm.
not to separate, you know, with confusion and hatred, but
right.
even at a distance, still showing
mm-hmm.
love. And when we are trying to be like Christ,
mm-hmm.
how we're like Christ, the more we're like Christ is the more love that we show toward
mm-hmm.
others.
Amen.
So if we are out of sync with love, then
mm.
we need to go back to the drawing table and evaluate where we are with our relationship with Christ.
That's good right there. That's good.
Because the enemy is going to try to pull us and separate us from
mm-hmm.
each
wow.
other so that love is absent. Love is absent in the picture. And that's
mm-hmm.
not the way God formulated it. You know,
wow.
He wants, not only do we love each other outside, one another outside, but even love those in our family members who are unlovable.
Yes,
the ones who have hurt you, the ones
oh.
who have done something to you to
mm-hmm.
make you angry to the point that you don't want to see them. Let
yeah.
me tell you something, brothers and
there.
My sisters. You know, there is no greater charge than to love those who are unlovable.
Yes.
Let God work on them. Not
That's
you,
true.
But let God work on them.
Come
That's
on
what
now.
I say, let go and let God.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Amen. Amen.
I have
Amen.
A comment.
Yes, come on.
I also think, too, we need to have the agape love. That love,
mm-hmm.
that unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
as Elder was saying, you know, we got to love them in spite of.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to love them when they don't even love us.
Yeah, that's right.
Despite who use you, you still got to love them.
Mm-hmm.
You may not like their way, but you got to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So it's important that you have to love me unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like what I got on, but you got to love me anyhow.
Amen, amen.
And I yes. believe that's what God is looking at as well.
Mm-hmm.
As you talked about, you know, he looked at the heart. That's what
yes.
he's coming for. He's coming for the heart.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's coming for how you really love
mm-hmm.
me. That's what he's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we need to get to that point in life, you know, and say, you know what, I love you anyway.
Yes.
You
got
to get to that point.
Mhm.
Mhm.
And
yes,
one
so,
other thing, we, mm-hmm,
come on.
When you were talking about in verse 4,
mm-hmm.
Love suffers long, and what that was saying to me, description of love means if you have love, that means you'll be kind to your neighbor.
Mhm.
You know, you'll be kind to one another, and you won't be envy. You won't be jealous of a person.
Yes, that's good. Mm-hmm.
If you love
mm-hmm.
me, you wouldn't be jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want evilness to come before me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. You know, and when you think about that, and we talk like that in terms of being more Christ-like and how
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be, God knows where we are.
Yeah.
God knows when our heart is hardened, you know,
mm-hmm.
towards someone. God knows exactly where we are. And that's
mm-hmm.
where prayer comes in. You know?
That's right.
Where comes in. God has softened my heart that I can love them, even though that I cannot. I don't like their actions. I don't love
mm-hmm.
their actions. Let me love that spirit that's within them, that you placed within them. Let me love
yeah.
them, not just, but let me love that spirit that you have placed within them. And
mm-hmm.
it's not always. And the average would probably say, well, you know what? You know, that's something hard to do.
Right.
And it doesn't overnight. It does not happen overnight.
No.
And that comes with prayer and fasting, you know, and asking God, you know, to relieve us or release us of those angry feelings that
yes.
we have to
mm-hmm.
listen.
Mm-hmm.
It does
because,
not come overnight.
Because there's a scripture that says, with Jesus saying, well, what reward do you have if you just love those that love you? The reward is loving those that don't love you, that that uses you and curse at you. You still need to love them too. And it's just like everybody's saying, you know, our love has to go beyond. Praise God. Any more?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, praise Amen. God.
Amen.
To God be the glory. So here we see in verse 8 through 10, it says, love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We can stop right there and elaborate on that. We know who the perfect one is Christ. When he comes, well, first of all, we're seeing that love never fails. And to me, what this is saying to me, love never fails. God never fails because he is love. His word never fails because he is the word. So we know that, like the scripture says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not his word, not his love. Everything else may cease, but not his love. So we thank God that he is from everlasting to everlasting. And Paul says that all these other things is going to cease, and they shall fall. It said prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues. You know what I want to do? Sister Suzanne, could you get the Living Bible and read that for us? Get that scripture? Because this is good. Now, in the Amplify, it says love never fails.
Sister Suzanne from Japan, she's looking for what now?
She's going to look for...
I don't think she lives here.
Okay. Could you, in the living, could you get the verse 8 through 10? And I'll do the Amplify. And the Amplify says, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. For as prophecy, the gifting of interpreting the divine will and purpose, that will stop. It will fulfill and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, imperfect. And our prophecy, meaning our teachings, it is fragment, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect, meaning total, it says, comes, who is Jesus, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become void and supersede. Sister Suzanne, could you read for me? Did she hear me, Brother John?
Sister Suzanne, I don't see her right now. I don't think.
Okay.
I don't see her.
All right.
From the NIV, it says love never fails.
Okay.
For where the prophecies, they shall be done away. Or
right.
tongues, they shall cease.
Cease.
Or knowledge. It shall be done away.
Yes.
In 13:9, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then in 10 it says, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away.
Away. Mm-hmm.
And listening to that part, you know, love never fails. You know, and you was just piggybacking off of what you were saying. Love never fails. It does not make a difference what that situation looks like.
All right.
What situation that you're going through, that it may appear that you are still showing love toward that person or toward those people. You're still showing love toward them, and it appears that they are still treating you in the worst way. That's a horrible feeling.
That's
a horrible feeling, my brother, my sister. So what it's saying here is that love never fails. And like you said before, let's translate that love into God. God never fails.
Amen.
God never fails. And he's saying that whether you have prophecies, whether there's a prophecy, that it shall be done away. That shall be done away. They shall see. And our knowledge, it shall be done away. That no matter how you think about that situation or what you think of that situation, no matter how, if you speak in tongues, speaking to that situation and calling those things an off as though they're not, no matter, it does not make a difference. It's saying here that God never fails. That we cannot do it ourselves. We can't make that change, that transition. We have to rely on God, the love of God, to be able to turn that hardened heart around and soften it. And it might not be what we see at that particular time. It may come later. So those people who are treating you, or that person who is treating you disrespectfully, it's saying that as God continues to work on them, that he's going to give them a changed heart, a renewed heart. God is going to turn that situation around. They're going to be able to see, no matter how mean, no matter how distrustful, no matter how they treat you, that they are going to end up turning it around because you're not acting the same way that they are. You're not exemplifying the same mistrust, that same anger. You're not showing what they see in the mirror. You're not showing that. And when God begins to work on something, my brother and my sister, let me tell you something, God, it, things begin to change. We might not be able to see it. They will still act that way, but we don't know what's happening in their heart. That seed has been planted, that word of God has been planted, and God begins to start to work on that person, and that's why people are transformed. You look at someone years ago and look at how they were and how they lived their life, and then all of a sudden they turn their life over to Christ. That's that renewed mind. That's that transformed heart. God has worked on them. And it might not be it out there. And I feel like my voice is breaking up too. It might not be on the time, but God has his own timing. He has his own appointed time for all things. Love never fails. So I just wanted to share that part of it. And we all go through that. These are people who are unlovable. They don't want to be loved. And God is saying, even if they're unlovable, we still love them just the way they are.
Amen. But and as this just keeping it going, and as this particularly these particular verses are saying that everything else is going to cease, our teachings, everything, the prophecies, everything is going to cease because that which is perfect is going to come. And we won't have any need because, what does it say? Because the value of it will, truth will supersede everything else. And who is truth but Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So everything will be done away because, you know, we'll see as we go on. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I I'm just still caught on that in terms of the world, how the world sees that, you know, how the world sees things at that time, you know, and during that time, you know, in Corinthians, you know, love was kind of mixed up. Yeah, there was no love there. That's what Paul was preaching to them mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you know, he was saying that love endures forever.
All things,
that's what
yeah.
he was speaking, you know, that mm-hmm. even though it's morally corrupt, that in Corinth, that love never fails. Love will
mm-hmm.
endure forever.
Mm-hmm.
Love will endure
mm-hmm.
forever. So, you know, even then, love was confused. Even today, love is confused.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was speaking
mm-hmm.
to the community at that time, but even at that time and today, we do a comparison, love is still mixed up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still mixed up.
But it's just like what you said earlier, how if it's messed up, and I'm paraphrasing, we need to go back to the drawing board. That means we need to go back into his presence. If we're acting not out of that place of love, then we do need to go back. We need to go
mm-hmm.
back and let God transform us again. So
mm-hmm.
we'll have that love that he has, so we can
mm-hmm.
show to whoever we come in contact with. They shouldn't see anything else but the love of God.
Amen.
You know?
Right.
Amen.
If you want to act crazy, act crazy behind your closed door and let God deal with you there. But
mm-hmm.
as and he will deal with you so that what you're showing is even more so genuine. That
Amen.
You don't have to act crazy. You can rise above, and that's what it is. That love takes us above everything. People acting crazy, people mm-hmm. doing whatever they do, it takes us above into that atmosphere of where God, how he's loved us when we
mm-hmm.
weren't, when we wasn't doing right, when we wasn't crossing the T's or dotting the I.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
Why he says his love covers a multitude of sin. So if that individual
mm-hmm.
is sinning against you, doing things that are wrong to you, all we have to do is pray. Like brother said, we got to continue to pray for them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody want to say something?
I also
Amen.
Like to talk about love,
on.
Too. Love is an emotion as well.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And it's an action. And in this particular chapter that you're reading, this is the true love that is primarily
yes.
action from God. Because
mm-hmm.
when you look at John 3:16,
all right.
how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That's what he said. That's what he did.
That God did for us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at love, we have to, in other words, when we look at the word love, love is an action that we have to give to our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like
Amen.
God is his only begotten son that we may have life.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
And more abundantly. So it's more an action. It's an emotion that love is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It's a
Amen.
Joy. It's a
yeah,
choice.
Amen.
That's good. It's a choice.
I like mm-hmm. the action. The
right.
action is choice
mm-hmm.
that we make. The Lord chooses to love us,
mm-hmm.
and we are the choice to do the same to someone else. And the other thing is, you have to think about times that this was written, that how brutal the Romans were.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how they treated the Jews. And how legalistic even the Pharisees, the Sadducees were, you know,
mm-hmm.
how legalistic it was back then. So it was a hard time to live because it was so punitive that there was always something, you're always wrong. You're
right.
always
mm-hmm.
wrong, no matter what. If
mm-hmm.
you're Jewish, you're wrong, but at least you're Jewish. But if
mm-hmm.
you're anything other than that, you're like a dog.
Wow.
So, I mean, just to think about that, and that Jesus was bringing this radical thinking to
mm-hmm.
the people, that they can be loved no matter what. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
radical. So
yeah.
radical. What is it about following the law? It's not about doing, you know, pleasing everybody else or, you know, following Caesar or
mm-hmm.
doing what the Sadducees thought they should do. But it was about having a personal relationship with
mm-hmm.
the Lord, you know? and going before the Lord yourself. Something so different, so radical.
Right.
They didn't like that. They didn't like that, but in spite of not being liked, in spite of not being favored, that Jesus still taught the same thing, that the root of salvation, the root of what the Lord wanted us to know in that relationship with God is love, that God is love, period,
Amen, amen. And what's so good about this, like Sister Suzanne said, this is back during that time where they were so brutal. And you know what? In this time, since there's nothing new under the sun, in this time, I believe God is trying to tell us as the body of Christ to put on that garment of love, you know, because in these times, which is so brutal, and people are killing each other like, you know, just to blink at them, you know, it's crazy. We have to put on that love. See, the word of God says follow peace with all men, you know, and not saying that they're going to, you know, be peaceful with us, but since we are the light and since we're to show him through our lives so we can bring somebody, somebody can see the difference. Oh, I slapped her in the face. Like Steve Martin said, like Steve Harvey said, I'm not there yet. But if somebody does that, how we can rise above, and I don't mean literally, but rise above that stepping on our toes. And anyway, praise God, praise God. This is a, you know what I like about this when God gave me this subject is that he wants us to know that that love that I've given you, you show it to the world. We got, look what I did. Look what Christ did. They dogged him out. But he said, Father, forgive them. And that's what we're to do. When they dog us out, Father, forgive them. For they know not who we are. We're the children of the true and living God who shows love.
That's the beauty of it, of knowing that. Knowing that who we are. Knowing who we are. You know, when you know who you are, you don't have to worry about the attacks that's coming against you. You don't worry about that wayward son. When I think about, you know, in terms of, you know, in the latter generations, how the parents prayed for their kids, when they were out there acting foolish. Parents of that, they were praying. They was home praying. Praying for their kids. God is able to take the most wayward child and turn that child around. And I don't know who I may be talking to or who may feel like they have lost hope, but God does not want us to lose hope. He does not want us to give up.
Amen.
God is the same yesterday as he is today. He does not change. And his promises, he has given us promises, and those promises are, we can almost just count on them. We can count on them. You know, so that, that's the word is the truth. And when the word is the truth, you know, what we're looking at is we know what is true is true. We can't make it any different. And the greatest thing, greatest attribute that we can ever have is when we show love. Then when we show love, then we're showing Christ. We're showing God. But if we're not showing it, then we, you know, and we all do struggle. We all struggle. We really do. You know, we all struggle. We all make errors. We falter. But you know what? As we go through living, God teaches us more and more of how to handle difficult situations.
Amen. And I just like to jump off because when people treat us or treat you, any one of us, wrong, the Word of God says it would be better for them to put a millstone around their neck than to to offend or harm, and I'm paraphrasing, any one of his children. So God has our back. So
Amen.
We don't have to come back around and be vengeful or act nasty or whatever. God has our back. And
Amen.
Even knowing that, we have the confidence of knowing that vengeance is his, and he'll correct
yeah.
that individual. They might get away, but they don't get – they might get by, but they don't get away because God sees everything.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know? Amen.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Let's move on to let's move on to verse 11. It says, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known." And then it goes on, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love," charity. Now, what that says to me in verse 11 through 13 is we become mature in our understanding of this faith walk. We become mature in putting away the childish things, the petty
mm-hmm.
things, those things that so easily separate us, those little annoying things that the devil always seems like. You ever have a person that you feel like they're like a thorn in your side, and they always know what button to push? Those, and they're saved now. Those are the things, praise God, those are the things God wants us to put away. We have to choose our battles. If it's a little thing, then we need to just throw it back and continue on. Don't let it upset us or get us distracted or off the track, because that's the enemy's plan. He wants to separate fellowship and our calling, and he wants us to just continue to focus on those little things, those petty things, those childish things, those things that so easily beset us. We're to mature. As you know, because you know what? There are people out there that are grown up, but they're not matured up. They're not maturing. They're growing in age, but they're not maturing in wisdom. And that's what we have the Word of God for, to give us wisdom. The Lord says, "Ask me, and I'll give to you liberally any kind of wisdom for any kind of situation. Ask me."
Yeah.
Anybody? Anybody? Come on.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. I've always liked that part, you know, when I was, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as a child. I reasoned as a child. And
mm-hmm.
when I became a man, I done away with what belonged to the child. You know, and I always thought that in terms of when we accepted Christ in our life,
mm-hmm.
when our lives changed, when we were out there in the world trying to be young, when we were out there in the world making bad choices
mm-hmm.
and not thinking about the consequences, when we were out there and we were saying anything and everything that we wanted to say to
mm-hmm.
another brother and sister, just destroying them with our tongue, then I think about that. I think the mistakes that we all have made when we were younger,
mm-hmm.
when I mean younger, I'm talking about that mindset, that
yes,
younger mindset.
That's good. Say that.
Once we accept Christ, Once we accept Christ in our life and we begin to learn the Word of God and we begin to start to have a relationship with Christ, Christ begins to teach us. It's almost like we're sitting at His feet, and He's teaching us how to live our lives, how to go throughout this world and be successful.
We put away the childish things.
The Word of God. So, you know, when I see that, I think of that. You know, it's almost like sitting at the feet of Christ, and he teaching us through the Word of God. You know, and we just listening. As a child, we're just listening. And eventually, we get it.
Yeah.
Eventually, we get it. Oh, okay, that's what he means. When that person said something to me and I became angry, I'm not supposed to be angry at that person because of what they said. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. 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 Let's look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly. I'm going to read in the Amplify. And it says, for now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a dim reflection, a blur reflection of the reality as in a riddle. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality face to face. And it says, now I know in part, that's the imperfecting part, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have fully and clearly known and understood by God. That right there is telling us that we will know it as God saw it. We'll see it all and understand it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We shall see it as a reality. Face
Amen.
To face.
Amen.
As a reality. Because you know what? You know what? Talking about reality. Some people think that this world is the reality of it all. But there's a spiritual side that's the reality of this world. We are the reality, the born-again people. We are the reality of what's to come. Jesus is soon to come. This is the reality. I've come in contact with so many different people that say, oh, you know, they don't even believe in spirits. Oh, no, you know, it's just the way that certain group are. This is just the way that certain complex is. Excuse me. If it's like in Brownsville, oh, it's not the spirit, but it's the people. They're the ones, because of the environment, they're like they are. And I'd be telling them, no, it's a spirit. Everything is a spirit.
Amen.
We don't fight against flesh and blood. It's the spirit.
Right.
That moves people to do what they do. It's that spirit.
Amen.
So I thank God that we in the body of Christ that has the spirit of Christ can see that and share that and pray against that unruly spirit. Anyway, I think I went off into a tangent right there. So anybody
okay.
have
We're
anything?
We're looking at about 90 seconds left before we
okay.
All
right.
Closing.
Well, praise God. Praise God. We thank God for this word. I believe this word is a timely word because it jumped off of what Brother John was saying last week. And when he was bringing his teaching out, I said, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be talking about love and what it is and what it is not. And here we are.
Amen. Amen.
Here we are.
The great gift that we have is love one for another. And that's what Christ wants us.
Yeah.
You know, he wants us to move one
for
another.
And for others. And for others that haven't yet came in.
Amen.
Because they have
to
come. Somebody has a comment? Come on. today. Amen. They're quiet. They're quiet.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So I'm done, Brother John. Praise God.
We thank you so much for, you know, for taking the time, you know, to bring to us what God had laid on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray that God will continue to
mm-hmm.
Just manifest in you, that you will
mm-hmm.
continue to do a work for him. We do thank you for participating
Amen.
With Blog Talk Radio. We thank all of you for tuning in, for being a part as listeners. Even if you don't say anything, we just thank you anyway.
Yeah.
We just want you to know that we're here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we'd like you to tune in next Wednesday. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. So
Amen.
Until next Wednesday, God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless
you.
I can begin.